on air, WICC 600, online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning. Good morning. Martha Sala joins us from WDUN in Georgia. Hey, Martha, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Well, thank you so much. So much. Summer is here and we are having the rainiest August that I can remember in quite some time. What's the weather down there in Georgia? What's it like?
It's been really nice and cool all summer. This last maybe 6 or 7 days, it feels like summer. So I can't complain because Georgia summers are usually long and sweaty. So it's just started. It's probably, you know, I don't know if it means we're going to go into a long summer or not.
So, yeah, no, we've had a cooler than usual summer. Many people are saying that from our point of view, we've got these horrible fires across the country that are making their way in these Arctic smoke winds that are coming up from Maine and Canada back down the Northeast Corridor. And that's why it's a cooler and more cloudy summer than we're typically used to. We're not having as much sunshine as we're typically used to. Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. Very true.
Yeah. Burning
so we'll
up
see.
The world. We will. So Martha, I wanted to touch on a couple of things today. First, I wanted your thoughts about the resignation of Andrew Cuomo, how just as a political person, how stunning it is from a period, from a peak of such political popularity, my alliterative phrase of the day, to this complete desertion of him politically. He's had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to go within his own party in New York. He had nowhere to go within the federal elected legislators of New York. He had nowhere to go with his friend Joe Biden. Even Ned Lamont, our own governor of Connecticut, said that he should resign. So he did. But I was still surprised.
Well, in his resignation, too, he continues to say there's no evidence. There's, you know, I will step aside. He did not use the term resign. But if we believe in the Me Too movement where women are to be believed, yes, there was evidence. There were 11 women that told basically the same story to different levels and that much of it was corroborated, and he had nowhere to go. That's exactly right. He reminds me of Al Capone, really, because they can't get him.
Al Capone.
Or they may not. Yeah, and let me tell you why. They may not be able to get him on the nursing home deaths, but they're going to get him on this. And that's like Al Capone. They never could get him on all the horrible crimes he committed, but they got him on tax evasion. Now, I'm not trying to say tax evasion is anything like sexual harassment, but I'm saying it's the lesser charge than all of the nursing home deaths.
Well, and before that, because I was a Westchester County-based radio host for 4 years, the really massive scandal that everybody thought was going to topple him didn't, when they arrested everyone around him and convicted them for political corruption, including Joseph Prococo, who was someone who was described as his brother, went to jail for him. And they kept circling and circling and circling, and they couldn't get him. But they knew that this corruption could not have flourished and happened without the wink, wink, at least, at the very least, the wink, wink, if not the actual participation of Andrew Cuomo. But they couldn't get him for that. So they got him for this.
Well, it is interesting that the people around people like that will take the fall for him. You know, you
Isn't
saw
it?
That with Chris Christie and the bridge scandal where the people around him got convicted, but not him.
Yeah.
So
not
it,
him.
It happened.
And they didn't want to take the fall, by the way. The Chris Christie people did not want to take the fall.
That's true. Yeah. But then you look back in Atlanta today where Kasim Reed, the former mayor, has had people go on trial and to jail all around him with corruption, and he is running for reelection. And the joking not reelection, he's been out and he's going to run again. But the crime in Atlanta is so terrible that the joke is, I may be corrupt, but I kept you safe. And so he's going to run, and he's the front runner.
And then, of course, we have Donald Trump. That's probably the best example of all. Look at all the people around him that have taken the fall, will be taking the fall, or diving over the edge, have been arrested for corruption, whatever it is. And yet he stands, to a large extent, immune at the moment. even his own family being accused of terrible things, right? So, yeah, it is, to me, it's a fascinating, somebody should do a good political science treatise on this. You just got a master's, about what it is, what kind of perverse loyalty, or maybe it isn't even the loyalty. It's the justice system itself, where some people are so savvy that they have, that they are skilled in having others do their bidding for them.
Well, and it's hypocrisy. Well, they call it plausible deniability, where they don't include the person at the top enough to get them in trouble. But you look at John Kerry related to this climate report that came out. You know, he, of course, takes lots of private planes. And when he was asked about it, he said, people like me have to use private planes because what we do is so important. That, you know, we have to do it. And it's this attitude of it's the ruling class attitude. I am so important that the rules don't apply to me. And I think that's what, at the crux of it, Andrew Cuomo clearly had a culture of, of this kind of frat house behavior within the women that worked for him. And look, I have Italian relatives, all right? Yes, they are a little more huggy and kissy, but I have never had an Italian relative do anything inappropriate to me that I felt uncomfortable about, okay? It's to blame the fact he comes from an Italian family and that his father did the same kinds of things, his mother did the same kinds of things.
It's so insulting.
That was just weakness. It was insulting.
It's insulting. It's insulting because... Absolutely, Martha. I mean, I can pretty much divide my friends into Jews and Italians. Present company accepted, you're a friend as well. But most of my friends are Jews and Italians. I think it's just a commonality in expression and culture that brings me together with, so many of my close friends are. And they're not Italian Americans. They are literally from Rome and from Italy and from places like Monte San Savino
and the warmest, but completely appropriate
as to boundaries. I've never once felt because I'm in the company of an Italian man that he was going to be handsy with me. The whole thing is insulting.
That's right. It is insulting, and it's trying to excuse his behavior. And I know that President Biden has got to be a little bit, dancing around answering these questions because he's got the same kind of criticism about him.
Not sexual harassment,
but that he gets into your space. I have a personal example with him. In 2008, I was interviewing then-Senator Biden, and he didn't, touch me, but he kept coming so close to me that I'd have to back away as I was, and then he kept coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. He gets in your space.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. The one time I met him, he got in my space too, but I liked it. I thought he was so handsome and charming. I had no problem with it. Come on into my space. It's good. Come on in. Yeah. He was very charming.
Maybe you have to be of a certain age to get away with it.
You know what? I met him in the Capitol dining room. And the year was around 2000 and maybe 5 or 6, something like that. And I'm trying to remember. And he was really, really charming. Joe Lieberman introduced me to him. He was really charming. He wouldn't remember it.
But Joe Lieberman is one of these guys that's a very effusive, friendly guy.
Yes.
His son lives in Atlanta, ran for the Senate last year. His son is the same kind of guy. Never felt uncomfortable around him. Okay.
Right.
Never felt uncomfortable around him.
Right. All right. So Cuomo was toast. Hey, before I let you go, Martha Zoller, I want to ask you, what do you think about the infrastructure bill that was recently passed in the Senate to great acclaim and bipartisan approval and a large bipartisan vote? But now Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are saying not good enough. Side by side, they want a bill full of the Democratic agenda policies, which appears to be dead on arrival in the Senate. I don't know about the House. And what do you, as a political person, what do you make of this? Do you think the Democrats just cannot accept victory when it's handed to them? They have to go for the defeat in the name of, it's just so ridiculous. Why don't they just take a walk and say, yay, we did something great for a change? They always have to get more. They want more.
Yeah, I mean, the infrastructure bill was bipartisan, and Nancy Pelosi has said, though, she will not take it up unless the $3.5 trillion Bernie Sanders love story bill is not passed, which is what it is. It's the Bernie Sanders agenda, everything he talked about, everything's free.
And he was not chosen as the Democratic nominee, Martha.
He was
not. It was Joe Biden that was chosen.
That's right. And so here's what I think is going to happen. If this framework's going to pass in the Senate, it's going to go over to the House. Nancy Pelosi has a razor-thin majority, and she's got about 25 members that are on her side that are afraid they're going to get booted next fall. So I think it goes nowhere, and they're going to go to the public and say, not the $1.2 billion, trillion. She'll come back and finally pass that. But that big $3.5 trillion, they're going to say, oh, we tried. We tried, but we couldn't get it through.
Okay, and here's what I say about that. If you're right, it's fine. It's politics, all for the good. We get a bipartisan bill passed finally for infrastructure priorities. I'm happy with that, although I know that it's ladling so much more debt on the next generation. It's just sad. It's just so sad what we're doing to the next generation. There's absolutely no accountability for what we're doing and plying on the shoulders of others that are going to come after us. But putting aside the numbers, which everybody seems to do nowadays, politically, why don't they just take a victory lap? In other words, why don't they just do that?
Take a half a loaf and come back for the other half,
yeah.
Another time instead of just – but I think it's because they know they're going to lose next year and the pendulum's going to swing back. Because all you got to do is look at history, Lisa. People, the American people do not like one party, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, controlling everything.
Right.
And
right.
The pendulum's going to swing back and they think they got to get it now. But here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that AOC challenges Chuck Schumer because I think that's the only way we're going to get her out of there because Chuck Schumer will not lose that reelection. You know, he is one of those people that can moderate himself when he has to. And she cannot.
So you think that in a New York state primary vote that AOC will lose to Chuck Schumer?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. New York state. Yes.
New York state. I don't know.
Well, we'll have a steak dinner over it. How about that?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, her net is pretty far and wide and grassroots. And you know about primaries, Martha Zoller. It all depends who shows up that day.
It does depend on who shows up that day, but I think Chuck Schumer has a lot more experience getting the vote out.
Maybe so. It's certainly in a wider net, for sure, statewide. Yeah.
I mean, I still Martha think he's Zoller, too old and he ought to retire. But
well, that's what's going to be leveled at him. That's exactly what's going to be leveled at him.
Yes.
All right, Martha Zoller, always wonderful to have you on with your insight and your knowledge from WDUN in Georgia. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Lisa.
We'll be right back with Wayne Winston. We're going to get into some local race stories, including a story in the Fairfield Patch about some racist garbage that was painted on the side of a building and new people that have been appointed in Trumbull to the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, which had been a subject of great controversy. So stick around. We'll go back to local stories in just a moment. 203-333-9422 on The Lisa Wexler Show.